Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm going to start off on a sad note, but for a good reason. Lou Reed, baby. Yeah. Rest in peace, Lou Reed. Let's just groove on him for a moment.
That she wants to know.
She wants to know
why she's giving half her life to people she hates now.
Hello, Harmontown. Yes, it seems a melancholy note to begin a comedy show, but fuck it, Lou Reed passed away this morning, and let's dedicate this one to him, shall we? And as sad as this song seems,
but she's not afraid to
it's fucking good stuff. Welcome to the stage, the mayor of Harmontown, the king of sadness, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. All right. It's a special sleepy, sad Harmontown. And it's not Lou Reed's fault, really, for dying.
Well, is it? It might be. It might be.
No, I was going to be sleepy and sad no matter what. My girlfriend's out of town, and I don't know if I've ever been this apart from her this long. I can't remember.
What's it been, like 4 days?
Yeah.
That's the longest?
Yeah, we kind of just started spending every day together when we started hanging out. So
when is she back?
Tuesday or something.
So that'll really be know. What? Near on a week.
Yeah. She left a basket of gifts next to the front door, one for each day that she's gone, that I can open. Which leads me to item number one in my segment tonight called Things Dan Harmon's Not Allowed to Complain About. Which, and item number one is my girlfriend loves me too much. I can't keep up. I can't. How am I supposed to match something like that? I'm reading that off of one of the gifts that she got me the first night, which is my new gold eye Harmon, which is this kind of hinge clasped kind of affair with a. But I guess item number two that I'm not allowed to complain about is this thing. It sucks. I mean, functionally, it's gorgeous.
Certainly, like aesthetically, it looks like exactly what you wanted.
Yeah, it's got a slender. It's all love, no function. It's it's got a sticker on the front that says "I Harmon" with my silhouette on it. It's held together with the pen so that when you pull the pen out, it springs open. But it's one of those slippery, shitty, twisty pens that you have to twist to get the ink nub out. Also the paper is what it's like that paper that every 3 centimeters there's a random spot that won't take the ink. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, for me the deal breaker is the quality of the paper. You want good paper that takes ink well.
I mean, yeah. So she loves me a lot. She
Have you written any notes down in that one?
Well, I wrote "girlfriend loves me too much" as the number one thing, but I kept having to start over because the paper sucks. I had other stuff on there that I now can't remember. It's going to be a bad show because of this thing.
What else has she gotten you so far?
She got me some throwing knives. When I was younger, I used to throw knives in my backyard, and so she got me some throwing knives, and she put a target on the fence that separates my place from my neighbor's place, which is it's like it's this really low fence. Like, where, even if you hit the fence, you're still fucking up your own fence and probably your neighbor's fence,
or killing a child.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, if you've ever played darts before, yeah, it's about 20% of the darts go over the top of the board. So,
what were the circumstances that you came home one morning or day and Jay Johnson and I were at your old apartment, and we had taken actual kitchen knives, like...
And you were just throwing them at a door in my apartment, yeah, or a wall.
At a wall, yeah. And we had destroyed a wall in your place.
I think the circumstances were booze and probably other drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly drugs, yeah.
Because I think I went to work and came back, and you guys were still doing it. It was like, it's...
We had taken like a bucket out and drawn a circle, and then like a plate and drawn a smaller circle, and we'd numbered them, and we were like betting a dollar a throw.
And then I came home. I got up, went to work. Well, I didn't get up. I stayed up all night with you guys.
I forgot
went
about
to
this.
Work, came home, and when I came home, when I opened my apartment's front door, confetti fell because one of the many dumb drunk things you guys did was set like a
booby
confetti
trap.
And you were just, I came into this, these two red puffy adults like laughing, crying because confetti had fallen on my head. But it was like, yeah. You know, anyone watching objectively would have been like, this is not worth celebrating. This is, that confetti is alcoholism. This is a movie of the week. All right, so yeah, it's a sleepy, sad Harmontown. It's it looks like the attendees agree. I think there's not we're not packed to the rafters here. Part of what I blame for it is the Halloween people, whoever schedules Halloween. Like,
this is the worst.
Thursday
it's
afternoon?
It's the worst possible day.
Yeah.
Because there's no weekend leading up to it.
Nobody knows what to do.
And no one's going to dress up really joyfully on the day after
Some
Halloween.
Women are just dressing like a cat for 2 weeks in a row. They don't know what to do. They're just like, I have a tail, and I just in case. A lot of people are doing nothing.
I was going to dress up as Erin in honor of her version of dressing up as me. Well, she looked like Robert Smith from The Cure.
Right. But you didn't want to dress as Spencer when I suggested let's all dress as Spencer because that wouldn't involve makeup and women's clothes. You keep pushing for second year of David Bowie in a row.
I wasn't pushing for that. I was saying I was going to go for what's easy, and you shouldn't dress up like your friends.
Guy likes to dress as women. That's all I know.
Why women? David Bowie in Labyrinth is kind of a woman, but he's still a guy.
You were
he's the Goblin King.
You were Snow White 1 year.
I was, but that was because my girlfriend at the time had a Snow White costume from her oversized roommate.
All right. Well, I didn't know I was cornering you about this.
I'll dress as women. Mm-hmm. I have multiple wigs at home.
All right. Let's bring up Spencer bright and early.
Right now,
let's,
I love it.
Let's keep this sleepy train rolling.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going, you guys?
Are you nice and sleepy, Spencer?
I'm pretty nice and sleepy.
Yeah. Everybody got their headache on? Everybody got a sleepy headache?
I woke up at 6 a.m. in Fairhaven, Washington, and flew in only moments ago. I woke up, took a two-hour drive to Seattle, flew, went straight to our D&D game with you guys. We had our little... It was just Spencer, Dan, and Rob Schraub and I.
That was a pretty sleepy D&D game too.
Rob Schraub was supine through most of it. He was actually laying down on his back. And Vermithrax, it's your turn. We'd wake up and he would cast some sort of spell.
Yeah.
We killed lots of baddies though.
All right, let's keep the sleepy train rolling. Let's get some of these sleepy people's problems. Who's depressed tonight? And I'm not asking, like, who's got a problem. Like, you don't need... You can just say... If you're depressed, if you're feeling, like, at the bottom of your biorhythmic curve, Nobody. Everybody's walking on sunshine. Well, no, I don't want people stepping into the role. I'll pretend to be depressed. That's nice. No, that's good. Let's look at that as a beautiful aurora borealis.
How are you, real quick, just like to set the barometer? Are you up, down, depressed?
I'm definitely down.
Because Aaron's gone, or because what?
Aaron's gone. I don't know why. I had kind of a headache all day. You know what? I've been playing this video game that she got for me. That was her second gift to me, or Saturday's gift was this Ellen Page, Willem Dafoe video game where you're just like, it's one of those video games. I don't expect you to understand this, but
I know who Willem Dafoe is. That's it.
I know, but there's this kind of video game. I'm assuming it's the exact same company that made that Deep Rain or whatever it is, Hard Rain. Heavy Rain, thank you. Deep Rain, Heavy Rain, Thick Rain, Wet Rain. I played the whole game through this one, this Ellen Page, Willem Dafoe one. It's really weird. Like on paper, it shouldn't be fun at all because it really is just much more like you're watching a movie and they just kind of invite you to move along with your joystick. Like because you can tell from observing what's happening that it probably doesn't matter what you do, basically. Because you can't die, not that I know of.
Is it a shooter? Is it a thriller?
It's kind of a sci-fi Japanese kind of chick flick. I don't know how to describe the genre of the adventure you're on.
You're just a protagonist in a film, like, or do you?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a sort of spiritual, dramatic thriller about supernatural powers and stuff, and you just kind of go through this 25-hour movie.
Had basically. You asked for this video game?
No, she just got it for me, and it was nice because I really wasn't in the mood to play Grand Theft Auto. I love Grand Theft Auto; it's working great, but I don't know what it is. I wouldn't have played it otherwise. But having a new thing that I knew would probably take 2 days, I just put it in and played it in my Monogram PJs that she also got me, and she also got me dark chocolate peanut butter cup. I miss her so much. But I was Ellen Page all weekend. Maybe that's why I'm depressed. I was just Ellen Page with like this spiritual entity following me that I could use to open drawers and find clues. So I'm just feeling a little depressed.
Can you choose to be Willem Dafoe?
No, you cannot, and you wouldn't want to be. He's weird. He does not translate well to video game. Ellen Page worked very well. Whatever goop they put on your face, whatever ping pong balls they taped to your head to capture your movement and stuff, she made a good protagonist for a video game. Willem Dafoe, all of the bad things about Willem Dafoe come through in a video game, and all of the humanity is left behind. And if Gina Davis were eating a plate of Willem Dafoe that came through a telepod, she would go, it's synthetic. This is like Willem Dafoe is 90% skull.
Yes,
there's a lot of skull to Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, he's craggy.
When he and William Sadler were separated through the screen door of actors, Sadler got a lot of the humanity, and Dafoe only got so much that's stripped away again by this game. So, anyways,
so headache.
Headache.
Ellen Page video game.
I've been Ellen Page all weekend.
Missing Aaron. So throwing darts.
There was
knives.
Last week, too. The lady came up, and that was weird, right?
I loved it.
I didn't listen to it. I was afraid to listen to it because I'm just so tired. There's a lethargy to this, too. Like, I'm just so tired of being a fucking bad person. So tired.
I don't think you were a bad person.
Do you ever
get
emotionally tired? Like, it's like you feel like your emotions are doing sit-ups.
Is Lisa here right now, by the way?
No.
Are you kidding? No, she got into a personal submarine and like went to Tokyo. I think one of the writers told me that somebody wrote an email saying she's resigned from the fandom or something.
I have no fucking horse in this race.
Neither does she, man.
Yeah, she came up here and she had this sort of. I mean, you have a Christ complex, but your Christ complex met hers, and she was like, "I just wish people would stop asking me what I thought about this stuff." But like that's what the whole thing was for sale. Like, she hated you, but loves community and hated being on stage, but clearly needed to be. I don't know.
I think the biggest, the most unanticipated kind of blowback from that was that what should have occurred to me. what sometimes happens at Harmontown is that in our haste to like have a dialogue, we forget that only a kind of diehard Harmontown person knows that coming up on stage is not a bad thing. It's not like coming up to a witness stand. It's not like you're under arrest for something. And I was a little thrown by the fact that she did not come up smiling. I expected, when I say, is so-and-so here? I expect that to be the equivalent of, like, yeah, tickling them. Like is so-and-so here? And I said, is so-and-so here? And she was like, well, I don't know. I mean, and it was like, oh, shit, we fucked up. And how do you do a red wire or blue wire? And it didn't matter. Just... because I am not skilled at that.
Does that mean that she's never heard of Harmontown? Like she only loves Community and never heard the show?
I don't know.
Yeah, the first thing that like I noticed was that she came up and it was contentious. Like she came up in a very cross looking kind of posture.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a bummer.
Did that? What was the fallout for you from that?
There hasn't been any. I've taken the opportunity. I was like, you know what? I gotta. So many people I've talked to. I'm still on Twitter because Twitter seems pretty safe. It's just sort of like this trickling stream of garbage, you know. Like you can't really mix it up or like write an essay about how someone should be crucified or something on Twitter. It doesn't work. So I've been trying to wean myself off of. And this is such a sad thing to me. Like I grew up on the internet. If somebody's writing the world's lowest stakes biopic, you got to circle the irony here that when from the age of 13, like I was learning to interact with people on computers and always wanted to write television and ended up out in LA writing television in an era when this internet thing that I had grown up on was actually starting to impact television, and ended up at this weird crossroads where I had the first TV show that was sort of so loved by a previously unmeasured demographic that it actually was able to stay on the air, but at the same time was sort of like, it's just such an odd, weird, swirling thing. It was like my accessibility was, you know, became like part of a product. I don't know where I started buying into that stock or that press. I don't know what was fantasy, what was reality. I just always knew, I still know one thing, which is that I would rather die than not be able to talk about how I feel, and especially not in the medium that I understand where I can truly express myself, which is the typed word. And so that's always going to be a deal breaker for me. But the tragic irony of this whole thing is like coming around to finally like, I'm back on the page now of all this, like I just got to get these suitcases in my hand standing outside the internet going like, what happened? I guess I'm just going to go do what rich people do. I'm just going to shuffle around my house in my slippers and like, maybe I'll buy a boat. And I'll just be like Instagramming me in a jet ski. Cause I'm like, this is the life. This is what life is. But that was never what life was for me. Life was sitting in forums and talking
about
stuff.
But jet skis were built so that you could not take a selfie.
Right. That and Carpool Diem we came up with today.
Carpool Diem.
Carpool Diem. Did anyone ever come up with Carpool Diem?
Dan and I drove here today, and we were ashamed that nobody has come up with Carpool Diem.
Someone might have. We don't know. So all of that, you know.
Why did we bring Spencer up so early again?
Because he's a laugh a minute.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, why are you throwing it to me?
No, I mean, what is... Okay, so I'm going to throw... Carpool Diem? Carpool Day? That Carpool Day.
I think it's too literal, man.
Carpool Day. Today's Carpool Diem, because I got two people in my vehicle. Is that how you use it, or are you like, hey, man, carpool the Diem, because that's wrong?
Carpool the Day.
Yeah. What the?
Carpool. How about this? Carpool to Diem.
No, well. Don't appease him. His thirst for logic just made a horrible slogan.
I'm not suggesting.
No, Spock didn't work in advertising. It was a sometimes you just like just do it, says Nike. Spock would be like, just do what, Captain?
And it'd be a fair question, unless you were branding something.
All right,
that's not my arena, you guys. I'm confident in admitting that.
But what do people that don't get on the internet do? Like the
golf hobbies?
Golf.
Yeah.
We should start golfing again.
Falconry.
That'll make this show great. People can show up and listen to our golf stories.
Dan, I would suggest to you to start picking up falconry.
I prefer joinery, you know, wood joining.
Wood joining?
Yeah. You know, you create joints in wood then join them together.
What's your favorite method of joining wood together?
Oh, definitely the dovetail.
Really?
No.
Because I had you pegged for a mortise and tenon, man.
You know, that was the thing I was trying to go for, but my brain couldn't think of. When I worked at my book job, I actually read through a shit ton of joinery books, and I knew about the mortise and tenon joint, but I couldn't think of it now because I've been doing all this other stuff at jobs.
Yeah,
mortise and tenon, he was like arch enemies with Henry David Thoreau, right?
There were these two brothers. One was tall and one was short. The short one had a club.
Mortise and tenon was the guy that haunted Ebenezer Scrooge.
So they call it joinery? They don't just call it carpentry?
I have no idea. I think, joinery is like when you're not using like nails and shit. You're using slots and the way
the wood together. Of non-adhesive...
I think they use glue. Training.
Are you saying, Dan, you're in the market for a hobby that's not typing words to strangers that you never will meet and hate you for no reason?
No.
He's looking for something to do with his time, but that's what a hobby is essentially, right?
Yeah. No. Here's what you know what it is. It's a healthy thing because what I somehow started doing was like sucking energy off of the internet, which I don't think, you know, it's a medium. Like you should, I. If I'm true to my lip service, like I should be getting pleasure from putting shit out, like expressing myself. But then I have to somehow become a person that actually doesn't look at the response, you know, doesn't like pay attention, like never clicks the little A in the circle on the Twitter client. Which it just seems weird because sometimes people are saying like, "Hey, you helped me," or "Can I ask you a question?" But you just kind of want to be able to go like. And just like kind of exhale without inhaling, without taking back. What I'm wondering is, so what do I substitute? Because I was like sucking energy off of things. Like, what do you do in normal life when you want to get energy? You can't get on the internet and suck your little thumb.
Ask people here what they do.
I think that they're pretty much like me. I don't know, but this guy's raising his hand.
You go to bars alone and talk to strangers.
Bars alone and talk to strangers, he says. All right, that sounds good. That's certainly what I was doing from 91 to 2009 before Community started up.
Yeah. But you said last week writing is gross people asking for hugs. Like it's you saying like, you're putting that stuff out there for the response. It's not you putting things out. It's you receiving something back from them. So you have a relationship with the internet that I don't have. I wouldn't have because I couldn't do it. Like you want the response. You can hear 1,000 bits of praise and hear one bad thing, and you'll obsess about that because you're looking for that information. You're trying to triangulate who you are based on strangers' input.
Yeah. So I always want to know, like, what's the worst thing that somebody could say about you? Because I want to move in that direction because
last week it was saying, don't talk.
Right. Yeah. Which is like saying, yeah.
Tie your shoe. Do anything different. Stop doing what you're doing. Like, you have a huge, like, energetic reaction to anybody saying, change your behavior. Mm. Like in the Pittsburgh show of the Harmon tour, when like Aaron came out and she'd been affected by something and she said, like, that hurt my feelings. And you said, I'm sorry that you were hurt. And she was like, well, are you sorry that I'm hurt? Are you sorry about what you said? And like, it was all about behavior modification. Like you don't want to be asked to change anything. Which is nobody wants to ask to be changed anything. We don't want to have to change, but right. We all must. We all do have to adapt if we want to grow. But anytime anybody asks you...
Well, what if I want to grow into a person that never has to change? What if I want to become like Godzilla?
Then you have to change the most.
I have to change into Godzilla.
Yes, yeah. You actually have to change DNA.
And I do that by not caring what people think, right? So I cut myself off from everybody like Godzilla, and I slowly mutate into a giant lizard that breathes fire.
Well, the fear that for you is that if you had to change anything, you'd be sacrificing your identity. You'd lose who you are. Who you were.
But the only thing that I am is a person that doesn't want to be told what to do.
Well, that's not true.
You're, well, what am I? I'm the guy that likes flower pressing? I'm not.
No, you're the guy that likes to do a million things. One of the things about you is that you hate being told to change. But change is adaptation, evolution. It doesn't mean changing identity or changing essence. You're never going to change your essential qualities, but you could, like, you know, you could change, you could learn to soften this about yourself or enhance that about yourself. That's not becoming a bad version of you or being bullied or bossed around.
What is softening and what is that? What does that mean? Every fifth time you have something on your mind, you don't say it? Is that what that is?
No, it's knowing the difference between saying what somebody needs to hear and saying what the first thing that came to your mind was. You can say both things at once. You can express yourself without saying a hurtful thing to somebody that you care about.
I truly don't. Well, I don't think of myself as somebody that says a lot of hurtful things.
Well, no, but you know that you have the capacity to absolutely hurt somebody without meaning it at all. We all do. We all have that capacity. Like, you can say something that you could have said.
What are you saying? How does one grow and change? What is the mandate there?
You're asking a man. We don't know how to do this.
Being nicer.
Women have to come into our lives, and we have to allow femininity into our lives. And women go, hey, you know what? The thing you meant to say, don't say it. Just say, hey, they're there. Like, just be a human being for a second, and don't have an egotistical reaction to something, and need like reinforcement at all fucking times. Like, we think that, like, male egos are so fucking fragile and so brittle and so shitty, and we think that women have this power, and women think that we have this power, but we don't. Like you don't have to change any part of yourself to not be a cock. Like, you know, like when you are in a bad mood. When my blood sugar is low, if it's been a long drive and I need a fucking sandwich, I become Liza Minnelli. I become a fucking, like, I become a cranky weirdo. And I will say things that I don't mean. But as you grow up, ideally, you learn to go like, oh, this is that feeling I get when Jeff Davis is about to become an absolute unsupportable cunt for no fucking reason. And what I should do is go, hey, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to go take a walk. Like, I'm going to recognize that what I'm about to do is be hurtful. And before I say the hurtful thing that I know that I can do, like Indiana Jones flips a fucking whip, I will just, like, I will just say something soft instead of hard.
It just sounds like it's just a bunch of fucking garbage that a therapist tells you. Like, it's just such a bunch of, like, business casual cope with society. Like, oh, is that the way to get through the day,
look,
Mr. Harmon?
Dan,
my girlfriend mad. Well,
Dan,
next time, do you think maybe you should do that, but then take a step back, take a deep breath, and maybe not do that as much? Yes, you're right. I guess a perfect person wouldn't have done that. Well, all right. That'll be $700.
Well, okay, here's what I would say to that. I would say it's about being around people that you respect more than yourself. If you look down on everybody, you don't fucking, you don't ever, like, aspire to better behavior. If you treat people, if you always aim down, and whenever you're cranky, vulnerable, defensive, whatever, and you fire down on people, you cannot possibly grow. But if you surround yourself by people whose opinions you covet and crave and want to nurture, and you want them to think well of you, then you start saying, like, oh, like, what would I do to make people that I look up to look up to me? And it's not about softening and rounding off edges of your personality so you can make dumb people like you. It's about becoming more attractive to the people that you aspire to be or you know, to be around.
That's interesting.
He burped.
Couldn't help it. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I like that philosophy. Like you could keep somebody in your head instead of the guy in the back of the room who's got his arms folded, going like, oh, that guy's not funny. You know, like kind of like having this phantom heckler in your head. like playing to an idiot, you know, trying to make idiots like you, like imagining that that guy is, you know, Agent Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks, or even if it's just a fictional character, somebody that you look up to, right. You're like, I wouldn't want him to think I was a twat, you know, and then, yeah, I like that. That's good. That's smart. All right. We got that covered. Let's go. We're all going to be good people from now on.
Because nobody ever wants to live in a world where we had to change you one iota. We don't want you to ever have to, like, choke up on the bat and not be full force, awesome, crazy, like, rampant Dan Harmon. We want you to always be firing, like, from the hip, like, you know, like Jack Palance and Shane. Like, we want you to be a good guy, a bad guy, like a weirdo, because you're a good writer, and you can't write well if you're thinking about what people think about what you're going to say.
Right.
You need to say whatever you want to say.
But I just have to be thinking in my head when I'm saying it, this one's for Obama.
No. No.
What if you he's have, listening.
What you have to think is it's possible to evolve and still be you. It's possible to be a higher version of you. You can elevate yourself above certain behavior that you yourself are not proud of. That you say things that you regret later on. And we drink and we say things drunken and we use that as an excuse. And that's fine, but, you know, or it's not fine. But ideally, there'd be a point when we stop saying things that are asinine or adolescent or puerile or hurtful. And I like to think that at 40 years old, I can't hurt people's feelings anymore accidentally. But guess what? I'm fucking way better at it than I ever was. Like, I can now just be dismissive of somebody, and that's more hurtful. So, like, we do have to, like, grow a bit and use our brains, our evolved intellect. I'm stupider than I was when I was 19. I was way more connected and way smarter than when I was young. Not that 40 is old. But I look at myself now, like oh, I can be crotchety. I can be cross, contrary. I can be a person that I wouldn't have liked when I was 19. So, like, it's not about me stopping being Jeff Davis. It's about me, like, learning to finesse it a little bit and make it sexier.
Yeah.
But you don't like that.
No, it's just it's very complicated when your relationship is with other people, when you gravitate towards this personality type that, you know, a lot of us in LA, I think, are, you know, we want relationships with strangers. We come out here seeking a hug from strangers. And so some of us do stand-up, some of us write, some of us direct, some of us act. But a lot of us pursue some kind of craft. Like, oh, I'm James Dean. I don't care who's watching. But come on, you're not making brick walls. And even if you were, people use brick walls, and you want people to say, "What a good brick wall! You did a good job." The extreme personality that really wants validation, you know, that really drives you, that's really part of your thing. Then you have a relationship with strangers, and then you have this weird thing that becomes like there's this feedback loop. What was my point? My point was something you said made me think, like, you know, I think the most complicated thing about all of us is that we all give ourselves so much more credit than we think we do. Like, everyone comes into every exchange almost like as an underdog. Everybody thinks that they're the one that needs to stick up for themselves.
But we don't look at you and think of you as an underdog. We
right.
look at
well,
you
that's
and
the,
think of you as a titan.
That's the crazy thing, though, because, it's...
Boyfriends with their girlfriends don't look at their girlfriend and think, well, like she's like the underdog. We look at them like everybody's holding power over us, and we're all trying to wrest power away from each other, and that's why relationships go bad.
Yes, because everybody is sticking up for themselves.
We said last week that, you know, we talked, or it was a week or two ago, that we talked about, or it could have been fucking months ago, about, like, when people come to you and are weird, they want to find out if you think they're smart. If they people want to come to me and find out if I think they're cool, what do you want from other people? When you go, if you shake hands with these folks after the show, when we were on tour, like walking on the street, from Aaron, from anybody, like, what is it that you want from them? What are you being weird about?
Well, I always just wanted people to tell me that there was a reason why I was born that I was, I don't know, I just want efficacy or not efficacy, like, you know, contribution, value.
To be loved?
I mean, I don't know. I think the part of my condition is like that love, like, I think that, like, there's circuits that go through my circuit board that are, there's parts of the board that are like, have this carbon scoring on them, on it. And then, so then there's either through a detour or I intellectualize love. I think of love as a thing that is very conditional, as very like, you know, it's a thing that you don't just get because you're someone's son.
But when you go on a comment section on the internet, what are you looking for? What are you hoping you hear?
He's amazing. He did a great job. Like, he's really, really good.
And what's the worst thing that you would? What's the thing that you're looking? Are you aiming at a certain thing that you don't want to hear?
He's a fraud. He's overrated. He's pretentious. He doesn't. He thinks that he's special, and he's not. He's a completely ordinary, completely lucky person who just wandered into my attention, and he does not have any right to have it.
So, how do you feel right now? Do you feel that you have the right to have that opinion of yourself? Do you feel like you're not too big for your boots, that you deserve all this?
Or? The boots keep changing size as I keep walking forward and keep ending up in different climates.
So it's the answer is no. That's an open-ended
yes,
thing.
Yes, it'll never change. Yeah. I think if you focus on that, I think that's sickness. I think that's the thing. You're never going to win that game.
And you're not going to arrive
it's
at a point.
It's not empirical. You can't measure it. You will only... That's codependence. Like, you're going, like, you have to fill this unfillable hole, and you can't... You have to actually self actualize and go, oh, I know what I do and what I don't do. I'm comfortable with it. Most of all, I do my work and I step back. I just do it because I like to do it, and I'm done doing it now, and I step back, and that's what a perfect person does. But the weird irony is that a lot of perfect people don't tend to get that pen out. You know?
It's an interesting thing, though, that, you know, we all think of ourselves as underdogs, and I think we all look at other people. Like, I can look around the room right now, and you're strangers, and your eye contact, like, you're like that's another person. Like, I don't know what their thing is. They might...
I paid $10 for this.
They might... Yeah.
Or this is like sitting with my brother. he's just sleeping on my couch and just complaining about his parents.
We all cast ourselves as underdogs, but, like, it's interesting to find out that we freak every... Spencer, like...
What?
Like, you'd be freaked out to find out that you're... there was a show, and Dan was talking about, like he's a better writer than me. Like you're a genius. You're half his age. Like it's weird to find out that we all look up to each other, that we all look at other human beings and go, oh, that person, there's a weird sparkle in their eye, there's a tilt of their head, that they go... I wish I could do that too. We all aspire to other people. And if we could all be, and I think that's that superhero wish, that superpower wish, because we all look around and go, I wish I could like sit as tall as that guy, and I wish I could be as sexy as her, and I wish I could I wish I
could do that dumb thing with my face that guy does all the time. I had the balls to wear that shirt. Where are you from? My sympathies.
You're the shittiest Don Rickles of all time. And Don Rickles would walk out and he would make fun of every race, but the thing is, somehow it was uplifting, because the idea is that...
Because most of the races were actively oppressed and couldn't do anything about it.
Well, because it's all arbitrary. All racism is such a fucking completely arbitrary arrow thrown at nothing. And all we are is afraid of other people looking at us, and everything is a mirror. And it's very interesting to look at, like, if I could give any advice to anybody, surround yourself with heroes and live your life around people that you look up to that are smarter than you. If you're the smartest person in your group of friends, you have a bad group of friends. You should be intimidated by your significant other. You should look up to her or him. And we should all be working with people that are better at the things we want to be good at. But it's amazing to find out that you... who has the show and has community and has the stuff, that really, like, you have an incredibly low self-opinion mixed with an incredibly high self-opinion. And that's a chicken or the egg kind of thing. Like, is it self-love or self-loathing that begets the other one? But it's crazy to find out that, like, we're all really, really concerned that we're worthless.
Yeah, you'd think that would unify us. Like, you would think we would stop.
That's why we're all here. This show is a unification of people who want to find out that it's okay to feel worthless because we're not. I think that's what, like, a lot of, and I hate to use the word nerd, but like nerd culture, geek culture, intellectual culture is a bunch of people who are like, I've been kicked around a lot, but I'm pretty sure that I'm doing it just as good as I can. And like we think about it more. The unexamined life is a life not worth living. Who said that? Like we're people who think about it too much.
And then Kurt Vonnegut said, "What if you examine your life and it comes up fucking garbage?"
Yeah, then you win. We're a room full of people who have the stakes are high. We actually care about how the world perceives us. I think the people that are the bullies, the people that are the jocks, the people that are the dominant, the people that are in Congress dicking around our country and our Constitution and all over the world, they're people who do not consider what they fucking look like. I think they think that by bullshitting around the room all day long that they're doing it just right. I think
this is the thing about the archetype of the old white man in the suit that controls everything and owns everything. I think the thing that makes that archetype a villain is the one missing ingredient where that person doesn't do that thing, that doesn't say, I'm doing this, by the way, because I'm really concerned that if I didn't do it, I would be worthless. No, it just seems like such a crime. To me, like, I'm coming from this place on the hungry, hungry hippo arena. My hippo comes from the place of... Because that game's all about what angle you're coming in on. That was a horrible metaphor.
It's horrible if you're born in the after 1982.
My battle bot is designed around the principle.
Thank you.
That if you are sincere, if you're transparent, then you're going to have a ton of problems. You're going to constantly be made fun of. People are going to be going like, "What? What did you just say?"
You're not allowed to be specific.
You just hurt my feelings.
You're punished for being specific.
You just said it wrong. You just did this and that. You do that. That's fucked up. You're going to have to deal with that, go through that. And I think maturity for the transparent person is like, you have to deal with it. Your transparency, if it includes like an image of you having your feelings hurt because you're so transparent, is not true transparency. It's another stained glass window with you as a saint, and it's distorting the light that's coming through. So it's like, but my goal is transparency, is just going like, look, I don't know if I'm a good person or a bad person, but I gotta be honest, and I know for sure that thinking one thing and saying another, it may seem in the moment like it's a really good idea, but it's a really slippery slope.
Yeah, you're cursed with being an intellectual. Like, and I hate, that's a stupid word.
It's tough. It can be rough.
but the thing is, like, well, like if you think about things, things are fucking tough. The Odyssey, like Homer, like the stories about heroes, they didn't think a lot. They just went out and they fought dragons and they did shit. But like later on, as life goes on, we become intellectualized and we think about everything too much. We become crippled by
which
that.
Is why we've created a new character at Harmontown that we're going to introduce right now, called Johnny Jackhammer, the man in the street. Let's go get Johnny Jackhammer. Let's open the window and talk down to him. Hey, Johnny Jackhammer, what are you doing down there? Hey, Dan Harmon, what the fuck? Oh, hey! Hey, I'm just jackhammering the street, oh! Hey, Johnny Jackhammer, why is your theme country music? I don't know, I can't hear much. I jackhammer for a living. It's a little distracting and it keeps going on. Yeah, that's true. This is Johnny Jackhammer. Obama or Clinton? Hey, they're all a bunch of guys that don't know how to jackhammer. That's all I'm saying. That's true. That's true. I say, hey, you know what I say? Take two of these guys, these congressmen or whatever. You give them each a jackhammer. Whoever can tear up more street, that's who gets my vote, you know? Ah, oh, you know what? That's some blue-collar wisdom. Sometimes things aren't as complicated as we burden ourselves with thinking.
Johnny Jackhammer, everybody.
Oh, one more thing. You know, we should build a wall around the country because fuck everyone that ain't white. Oh, shit. God damn it, Johnny.
Johnny, no.
God damn it. He was so close to being our Will Rogers.
Johnny, just get in the car and get out of here.
I hate black people.
Johnny.
I'd like to jackhammer all the black people. Oh, Johnny. Oh, Johnny. God damn it. I thought we found a hero. I thought we found the key to our nation's lock.
Johnny, just get in the car and go back to the hotel.
Yeah, I can't jack up. Jackhammer in the car. No, Johnny, don't jackhammer the car. CG. Shit! Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Johnny Jackhammer started jackhammering in the car.
Yeah.
But he went through the floor of the car, and the car flipped up like the Nazi van in Raiders. And just flipped and hit a gas station, which, as we all know, is full of gas and will explode on impact.
You know why? Because Johnny didn't think of himself as an underdog.
In his head, he still had one little secret. Yeah, he put himself above other races.
And that's the biggest crime you can commit.
Yeah.
I think that's where bigotry comes from, the idea that you can exert your will over other people, whereas I think we all come in low. We're punished for coming underneath other people, you know.
Right.
We're not punished for it. We're rewarded for it.
Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Spencer over there.
I'm over here. My back hurts, you guys. It's fucked up. If anyone's been looking at me like I've had to take it, like this guy is moving around like he's got a shit. That's what I've been doing. My back just hurts.
What's wrong with your back, Spencer?
I don't know. It's just I can't it's not comfortable right now. I don't know. I could lay down.
Lay down.
No, that wouldn't be engaging.
Just lay down for us.
Just lay down on the floor and do like David Milch wrote all of Deadwood from the floor, like just facing up.
Is anybody here a masseuse or masseur?
What did he write on?
Anybody here?
No, I don't. I'm not acting.
Everyone's back hurts.
We have a bunch of people in the front row whose back hurts. Bill's back hurts. Jay's back hurts.
Okay.
What the fuck?
Anybody else? Who has a bad back here?
My back hurts.
Your neck hurts?
Jesus right. Christ. Podcast listeners, everyone's holding up their hands.
I'm going to get the number for this woman, Destiny, who...
I think I have her number.
Chris McKenna started bringing her in like season 2 or 3 on
Destiny?
Community. Like when the community writers would do a couple all nighters or something, it would, like he'd pay to bring in this masseuse Destiny. And she'd set up like a little masseuse table in a vacant office, and the writers would go in. I'd never partaken. I don't like the idea of someone who's touched multiple people professionally actually seeing my naked back. It's an inferiority thing. It's not like a phobic thing.
Is that related at all to your, like, you're not a huggy person or a touchy person?
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm worried I'm making the other person dirty.
Like, for real.
I feel like if a girl hugs me, like I'm going like, ugh, I made a girl stinky.
What's it like when you're with like a girlfriend, like with Aaron or someone like how does
I take a lot of showers while I'm courting her, and then we move in together, and then I just get back to work and
tapers off a bit.
I have a force field of flies around me and I keep thinking like, we'll deal with this in a little bit. Just gotta get another paycheck.
But is the not washing?
Is that healthy?
No, I'm not saying that. Is that a way, like a subconscious or semi-conscious way to repel people? Is that a way of keeping distance?
Yes. Yes. I'm just observing it objectively. Yeah, probably.
Probably. Yeah. Let's say people, if you let people in physically, like to hug you, to hold you, that goes back to some serious like childhood stuff, I would imagine. But also like that's so and it's not funny. Like it's not funny. It's hilarious.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, keep it down up there. I'm trying to jackhammer.
Johnny, you're going to jail for killing 5 black people.
Hey. hey, look, you know, we all love each other, right? It's like the great Don Rickles said.
You see, Dan's trying to keep me away from this conversation. You're using Johnny Jackhammer as a way to keep me from getting away from this mic.
All I'm saying is I get it, you know, the whole thing, and the repressed memories.
I'm going to get up and hug you, Dan.
Oh, the Rosie O'Donnell thing.
All the jokes in the world.
The Oprah keep Book Club.
All the jokes.
At the end of the day, you're either jacking up the concrete or you're not, eh? You know, if you are, you're not.
Jeff's coming in for a hug.
I'm gonna hug you, Dan. Before we do it, you don't like it. This is not comfortable for you.
You want to let me know that?
I'm just saying bodily. You okay?
Yeah, yeah.
No. Fucking get in close.
That's not a hug.
Podcast gold. I will tell you this, though.
I'm never going to wash this cheek again.
When it's intellectualized, like I went to the Communicon last week, and the interesting thing is this happens a lot at Communicon, like the Harmontown shows and stuff. Like somebody will breach the bubble. Like somebody will just say, like, can I have a hug? Or something, like, they'll make a request. They'll go, like, one more thing. Could I have a hug? And I'll go, of course you can. Like, who would say no to that? And it's like, because they made this request, it's like, well, if I make you stinky with my hug, like, you asked for it. You can't, like, go home and complain. Get on your blog and go, like, and then I asked him for a hug, and he made me so gross. I woke up gross. So he kind of, like, takes the pressure off, and then he solicited a hug. And then there's a line of people. Then all of a sudden, everybody starts going, like, can I have a hug? And everybody, and it's really nice. Like
it's the best.
It's a very gooey therapy like thing. Like you can feel people's bodies kind of trembling a little bit because they're like, oh, you know, like it's nice.
Could you feel my body trembling, Dan?
Yes, I know. All right, so where were we?
We were delving into your psychosis.
All right. Hey, psychosis. I heard this theory that all the brains...
Johnny, get back in the car.
The brain's got a different part for every part. All your mom's repressed memories and all. Hey, look, I got two parts of my brain. Coffee break and jackhammering, you know? Like, you gotta... I punch in, I get 650 if I don't jackhammer the concrete, you know? It ain't that complicated.
Yeah, life would be...
The BQE needs to be connected to the 110!
Is that true?
It's a big job!
It was one of the major engineering feats of the 20th century.
And I'm gonna do it all with a jackhammer!
Johnny, it's your father. You can't jackhammer your way through life.
Yeah, I told you not to talk to me. Don't call me.
Look, I'm sorry about what happened between us when we were, you know, years ago back at home. But
hey, we got a saying about sorries at the jackhammer building, okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't jack any concrete. It's just a word, okay? I got my friends,
Johnny.
Vitucci and Toomer.
Johnny.
What, Dad?
I called your foreman a month ago.
Oh, fucking A.
I found out you've been fired for 2 years.
Fuck you, man. Hey, fuck you, Dad.
You haven't been jackhammering anything.
You can't fire me for jackhammering, Dad. You can just stop paying me, but I still got the hammer. And there's still concrete out there that ain't jacked.
The only thing you're jackhammering, Johnny, the only thing you're jackhammering is your relationships with the people that are closest to you and the people that care about you the most.
It's all fucking good for you, you know, because all of a sudden you're a new person because you realize you shouldn't have put your pinky up my asshole when you were bathing me.
Look, I have my jackhammer, you have yours.
Yeah, and all I got between you and me is a mile of cracked pavement.
Johnny, I'm dying. I have liver cancer.
Again?
I'm sorry about jackhammering your anus with my pinky. It was a long time ago. It was a different time, and I was a different person. But I've realized now what's important to me is to be connected. I want to lay some pavement between you and I.
that is unbroken. So I can walk over to you like men, like adult men, and shake hands.
Dissolve to JFK Airport. I'd like a one-way ticket to Syracuse, please. I'm sorry for all the pennies. I'm going to see my dad.
Sir, we don't take pennies at JFK Airport.
Well, today you're going to have to.
Why is
my
that?
My dad's dying, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't realize the stakes were that high.
This is your captain. Thank you for flying Virgin Atlantic. if you're flying from New York to Syracuse, you may be on the wrong airline. Certainly on the most expensive choice you could have made. Your movies are Lawless with Matthew McConaughey, the Steve Jobs movie.
Cut to the hospital.
God damn, that Steve Jobs movie was pretty good. Dad. Dad, it's me, Johnny.
Johnny, is that you?
I just said, yeah.
I don't hear no jackhammer. Normally, when I hear my son come, it's just there's all this noise of jackhammering and racial epithets and whatnots.
They made me leave the hammer at the terminal, Dad.
Johnny. Johnny.
Yeah, Dad.
Johnny.
Yeah. Dad. Hey, nurse. There's something obstructing his throat. Oh, it's so much more brittle than pavement. If I only had an implement.
Do it, Johnny. Go the distance.
No!
Johnny!
No, I wasn't dying, Johnny. I didn't want you to use the jackhammer again.
I don't understand.
I pretended to be dying to prove that you didn't need to use the jackhammer again.
Oh. Well, I don't have a jackhammer. They let me leave it at the airport. Dad, no, Dad! Oh, his last moments on Earth were confusing me.
Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to lay to rest Reginald Jackhammer.
Brilliant improviser. Intellectual child molester.
I thought you were going to, when the father's flatlining, you were going to jackhammer his heart back to life.
Well, I know. And then when I did, you said.
No, but you can't. You
don't do that.
Well, no, I thought you were fake doing it.
Fake doing it? I don't have a. I'm miming jack. I thought you were fake doing it for our radio play. I should have been clearer. I was miming a real jackhammer and not miming a guy.
Because up until then you did the pantomime jackhammer. You were doing the pantomime jackhammer.
No, we'll do notes. If you go to harmontown.com for Harmontown After Hours, where we do notes about our improv. All right, let's crank up some real role playing, right? With
what?
Some D&D?
If you want, should I distribute?
Yeah, get your shit out, man. What are you doing?
I didn't think you'd go at 9:02. I mean,
we brought you up at like 8:20.
Yeah, well.
And then never spoke to you again.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
Kumail's not here. Aaron's not here. Shrab's not here. Even Tyler's not here.
Yeah.
Even Tyler.
Yeah. He's drinking at the drawing with my girlfriend right now. Yeah. I'm not joking.
All right. Well, what about Beefsteak Bill? We'll bring him up and play. Have him play.
Beefsteak Bill. Get up here.
Look at these shirts, man. Beefsteak Bill's got the. Have we seen that one?
Can we discuss your garment, Bill? Where does one acquire? Is that velour?
It's flocked. It's
kind of a satin thing with a...
Yeah, I got it at some goth shop in Boston a long time ago before they closed.
Boston? Yeah.
Boston? Goth shop.
Oh, wait, no, I got this at Vaudeville Trash in New York. Sorry.
It's good.
Didn't offend me. Love it. How do you wash something like that? It's got to have different
rules.
Dry
cleaner. All right.
You know, Jeff, how often do you dry clean your suits there?
All the time.
That sucks. You know, that kills your suits real fast.
No, it keeps them good.
I mean, you know, dry cleaning involves tons of caustic chemicals.
Get a picture so that
no,
people can...
not my dry cleaner.
What's your dry cleaner?
My dry cleaner is a couple wonderful Korean ladies who take very, very good care of everything I own.
What's the brand?
What?
Where are they located?
I'm not going to tell
everybody. What are their hours?
If I say the hours and the location, then everyone that listens to this is going to go and get me, like, I'll be standing in line to get my suits out.
And we could get, like, $50.
Hey,
find out next time. Do you guys want your sheets?
Yes, I want my sheets.
Is the you,
Bill, be a lamb and dispense our sheets for us, will you?
Is the fear that if people knew when you got your dry cleaner that they would show up and get their dry cleaner done at the same time?
My dry cleaner is a hidden gem. It's a local secret. And if I told everybody... I mean, no one here fucking dry cleans anything. If I... I like the fact that if I walk in there and I say... And they say, when do you need this? And I give them a little little look and they go... Come back at 5. And if I told the whole world that, that might infringe my ability to get my shit right when I want it.
I just don't think that they don't use caustic chemicals. I think they definitely do.
Yeah, look, it's called dry cleaning, which is a misnomer. There's certainly liquids involved. And yes, there are chemicals involved, but they make...
Poisons.
Spencer, will you describe the monster in a dungeon called the caustic dry cleaner?
Okay. Sweeping aside hundreds of pressed suits, you see it in a sink full of bubbling pinks and blues, spilled plastic bottles. You see a rising and falling surface of caustic, boiling, bubbling fluids. That's all. I don't know. Didn't really build anywhere. I didn't deserve that. Thanks, guys.
Look, I mean, there's a way. Yeah, I mean, look, I've chosen my life, and it suits. And I spend a lot of money on dry cleaning. And
do you have a suit brush? Because here's what I'm getting at.
I don't have a suit brush.
You get a suit brush. You brush your suit down after you wear it. You press it yourself. You know, you don't have to clean that.
Hey, Spencer.
Once every
Spencer.
5 times.
Spencer. Can you take a vacation off of my cock for 5 seconds?
I just admire a good suit, you know, and I don't want to see him shredded by some, you know, poison.
I've had this suit for 6 years and it's never shown a dimple. I don't know. So tired. I'm a no sleep.
Wait, how many suits do you have, Spencer? You...
I have 3.
Will you wear a suit next Harmontown?
I mean, if you guys want.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
I wonder if they fit. I don't wear them very often.
I'm surprised. Why do you have 3 suits? Because most men have 1 or 2.
One of them is a real suit. 2 of them are like, I want to say Wells Fargo suit, but I mean Goodwill suit, which I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
Wells Fargo? They were brought to you on a covered wagon?
Yeah, like Goodwill suits and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you wear these ever?
No, I mean, you just ask how many I have. That's how many. 3.
Man, my weight fluctuates so much, and I'm so old that, like, every time I have to wear a suit for, like, a wedding.
That's why you get a suit.
I open my closet, and there's just this. There's a bunch of dry cleaning bags, because God knows when. Like, and there's, like, they're always mixed up. And like I have to do this humiliating thing where I get out each pair of pants. They're all gray. They're all charcoal gray. That I can't tell the difference between any of them except, like, oh, this one was from when I was twice as fat as I am now. This one was from when I was twice as thin as I am now. It's a, like, terrible. Yeah. Like,
but my advice is, it's not good advice, but it's my advice, is to, for gentlemen, to buy a really expensive suit at your optimum weight. And it will
optimum meaning like
you're thinnest, your best. You're fighting weight. You're college weight.
Right.
Like, get down to a good weight. Get a suit. Have it tailored. Make it fit you. And then it will force you. You're like, I want to wear that suit in fucking 2 weeks because it's Thanksgiving or it's for this or whatever. And you go like, I can't let the suit out 5 inches.
If that was going to motivate, I see what you're. That's clever, but before the ability to wear a suit would motivate me to lose weight.
Me too.
Not looking like a monster would motivate me. Like nudity is that suit you're talking about. Should be. Like, I should, like, see myself brushing my teeth and go, I don't want that to happen again. And yet, McDonald's is delicious.
But a suit is designed to make men look good, as our dresses for women, as our stockings and things. Men have their fetish wear where, like, guys look good in suits, even if you're not in perfect shape. That's what tailors are for. You go buy a nice Italian suit if you're a little bit overweight, and you look like fucking Marcello Mastroianni all of a sudden. And the thing is, go to fucking Banana Republic, buy a $150 suit. Oh, do they have those? $200? I don't know. And then go spend $30 at a tailor, and you have a fuck off suit, but you have to stay at that weight. Because or you have to have 900 suits, depending on how many donuts you've eaten that week.
I don't know.
Whereas Bill has just chosen the gay magician look, which I think is fantastic.
That's just, it felt like he just lashed out at you at the end for no reason.
No, I love
Thanks,
it.
Man.
If I had more courage, I would be dressed as a sexy Vegas magician at all times.
I think you look like a very straight magician, Bill.
I thought it was disenfranchised goth kid. But.
Do you know any magic tamer. Tricks, Bill? Bill, do you do any magic?
I can make my self disappear.
You can make your self disappear. You're a goth kid?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit.
What was your band in school?
Sisters of Mercy.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Drummer, right?
Oh, that's right. We talked about that. That's right. I love it.
We learned more about it. He became Beefsteak Bill. You notice I haven't called you Beef Fungus Bill since
I appreciate that.
You were reborn?
I really appreciate that.
I like growth. Just right. Don't like it on my beef.
No, funny thing though. So I've been playing this iPad game. I've been playing this iPad game called Plague Incorporated. You know, where
I've
you
seen
do
that,
like
yeah.
You do like bacteria and then virus and then fungus. I can't beat the fungus level. I'm not kidding.
It's too, yeah, you're like Breffy with spiders.
I think I'm psychologically blocked on that one somehow.
All right. Speaking of Breffy with spiders, where were we in D&D?
Oh, where were you? I'll tell you that.
Paint a really good picture, because I was interrupted at work, so I...
I know how that is.
So, Bill, where are you born? Where are you from, Bill?
Indiana.
Indiana, where?
Fort Wayne.
Portland?
Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne.
Or Fort Lame, as we call it.
Fort Lame.
Look what time it is.
It's northeast from Indianoplace.
9/11. Bill, we were talking earlier about what we fear other people see in us. What's your fear that people see in you? Or what's your desire that you... What's the thing you want people to see and respect in you?
Intelligence.
Intelligence, yeah. I think that's probably a commonality in this group, I would say, right? Spencer, you?
Yeah, being right. There's a difference between being perceived as intelligence and just being, like, someone who's right about stuff. Like, yeah. I don't want to, like, come off as being correcty or, like, I just want... If someone asks me a question, I want to be the one with the right answer.
Hmm. Yeah, it's because I was going to say, what a weird thing for a bunch of smart people to be worried about their intelligence, which is so often the case with such a personality type on the internet, is a bunch of people like going like,
correction, point of order, I'd like to spock you on that. Well, I'd like to over-spock you on that.
It's because there's like 5,000 definitions of intelligence. Like, some people want to be, you know, like, I don't want anyone to think that I went to Harvard. Quite the contrary. I want people to think that I'm an autodidact. I want people to think that I'm, you know, a man of the people, but that I'm smart about it. Or something. You know, like, you can split that hair so many different ways. My biggest fear in the world is pretentiousness. Like, that is the concept that I'm wrong about myself. That is my biggest nightmare. Is somebody saying, you think
think you're this, but really you're this. Like, that's the most hurtful thing. You think you're 6 feet tall? You've been 4 feet tall this whole time, like mentally or in any way. Like, you think that, like you're so fucking off. Oh man,
so
you're off.
The fear is, what's the worst version of you that people might think that you are? Like, you think you're what? What would you like people to think that you are? What version of you?
A humanitarian, decent,
and then you're afraid that people might think you are
a disgusting, caustic, selfish monster. Which I know that that's why I celebrate that. You know, I go like, oh, I'm a disgusting, caustic.
But isn't it possible to be both?
I hope so.
Right. I mean, isn't there some you can recognize that it's possible to be both of those things. Like, on a good day you're this, and on a bad day you're that, but it doesn't take one's not taken away from the other, right?
Right. Well, I would think at the same time you could be both things. Like, Han Solo has no love for the Empire, but he is also not going to be duped in by any kind of cause necessarily. He doesn't want to be tricked into giving his life for some bullshit, but he cares about people.
You want people to think you're a humanitarian?
Well, I guess I'm just grabbing at that word. Like, what word would you grab? I don't know. Like, I want people to understand that I'm, like, first and foremost, I'm a big fan of our species.
You want to be a contributor.
Yeah. And I also want, but also that I'm, like, kind of an optimist, that I think we can do better. That I'm a champion of all of us. That I'm not like that archetype of the troll under the bridge who's just like, who would slit your throat if he could get away with it just because he doesn't feel as loved. You know, like, I don't want to be that, contribute to that cycle. I want to be known as a person that said, we can do better. I believe in us. I think we can do it.
Yeah, and you can be that person, and also when you're when you get cornered, you can be a pessimist. I think curmudgeons and cynics are people that are the most optimistic people in the world. Like, curmudgeonry,
because you look around and you go, "What the fuck are we doing? Yeah, we're being idiots."
Curmudgeons are people whose hope was abused, whose hope was disappointed, and so you can be both of those things. You can be a pessimistic optimist. You can do both of those, right? Bill, what's the version of intelligence that you want people to perceive in you?
Coxmanship.
I'll just go with that. That's kind of a different... Can you...
I don't know. Dan was saying there's 100 ways to be intelligent, or to be, like, versions of intelligence. Is there a certain
way...
What
do you want it to say on the bottom of the statue that's dedicated to you as a thinker... But he used his brain to...
Wit would be great. If I felt like I had an incisive wit, I would be very happy.
That's a ballsy answer.
That is very ballsy.
Because that's potentially embarrassing to say. I wish I was witty.
Wish I were witty.
I think it's better than saying.
My fear is that people don't think I know the subjunctive.
No, that's good. I mean, that's very sincere and honest. Yeah? To just go like, yeah. I hope that people think I have a wit.
Anybody else out there? They have a brand of intelligence or a certain kind of genre that they wish people perceived in them. I know that's like no one's going to raise their hand, but that, like,
people start shouting off like eight different things, and then one person, when you listen to a recording, one person went, child murder.
Totally pretentious.
You want people to think you're totally pretentious?
I like reading classics.
Oh, so you want to be perceived as fancy, as erudite, or
yeah, I like Virgil and Ovid and Milton.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretentious. I love that. There's a hand back there too. Yes.
Same as Dan, actually.
Which is what?
Just being for the betterment of, I don't know, humanity as a whole, and being seen as someone who doesn't ever want to contribute to anyone having
here,
a bad...
Come up and say this, because you're too far from the mic. Or bring the mic to you, then. Just come across. I don't want to lose this vacancy.
No, I'm totally going to forget exactly what...
Yeah, but it's a hard thing to utter. By the way, it was just too quiet.
No, I mean, mainly it's just that I never want to contribute to sound so cheesy, but anyone ever having a bad day or thinking less of humanity because of me?
Yeah, I don't want to be the reason why anybody ever is going like, shit.
Yeah, people.
Now that's all fucked. Like, which is so ironic because I'm so often the reason. But then I have to think, well, that person's a bad person. Like, I don't want to be. I so much fear like somebody saying, God damn it, this room would be so much better if that person would leave. Like, I won't allow that to happen. I will not be the unwelcome guest. I will not, to the point where I would cut my own face. I would like, I would jump out of a skylight. I would blow up the fucking building before I went to it.
That might cause people a bad day.
But it's possible to want that and then do that very same thing, right? Like you can want to not do that, and then that's why.
And then do it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're like, let's get one thing straight. I'm not the fucking reason you're gonna have a bad time. If you want your money back, I give you your money back. Fuck you.
I want to make you feel good about yourself, you fucking cocksucking piece of shit.
And I didn't ask you to come here, and I don't fucking, you know.
No, I meant humanity, not you.
Yeah, that's a big, that's my
thank
thing.
Thank you, Haley. It was Haley, everybody. Thank you.
Not wanting to be the reason why. That's a big thing. Like when somebody implies, somebody goes like, you, that's the, like somebody goes, you hurt me. You hurt me because you were talking. You hurt me because you said that thing. Like, I just like fucking Hulk, sea anemone, like weird toxins fill my blood and prepare me for battle. Ironically, because if that's true, if I said something that made you suffer, we have to figure this out. If I have to pound your face into the earth and change the axis of the planet, I will prove that you are wrong. I did not say something to ruin your day, or that your day needed to be ruined, and that I actually helped you, or anything but.
That's kind of what happened last episode, wasn't it?
That's been happening for 40 years. That's what I was trying to explain in the heat of that moment. I was like, look, this is my thing. This is why I make stuff.
We got one more?
Jeff, I think actually kind of what Dan is trying to describe is what I would call emotional intelligence.
Right.
Yeah. There's actually a book about that by a guy named Daniel Goleman, but there's a lot of you know, psychoanalysis involved, but it's... I would call it emotional intelligence, for sure.
Thank you for projecting to the point where we probably don't have to have you. You know what it might be a fear of? Like this thing, I've been mistaken for diagnosing myself with Asperger's, and I'm sorry that ever happened. I would not do that. But the idea of empathy, I from talking to people on the spectrum, like what I find is that the thing that unites those people is the feeling of frustration, because they find themselves in situations where they are the cause of everyone's despair. And they find out all too late that they have not participated in some misperceived social custom. They have their underwear around their ankles at the urinal in kindergarten. They have a booger on their finger on the playground. They're saying words backwards. They're not doing something right that they didn't even know. They weren't even picking up on having to do right until and what they do pick up on is a circle of people around them with their fingers in their face saying, you don't belong here, you have to get off the playground, get out of here. And like that phobia, like that's the thing that would result in somebody like autocorrecting in their adult life for making sure that everyone understands that, you know, I'm here to help. I'm here to make sure everybody feels better about themselves. I'm not trying to hurt you when I talk.
Dan, in your storytelling, you've probably said this before, but like, say it again. Like, in your storytelling, what would be the goal that you could like help people with? What's the point of stories? What's the point of watching people walk through the stories and be punished for their humanity, get through it, become heroes because of it? Like, what's the gift?
Well, everybody realizing that life is what it is. It's just the most basic thing in the world. It's like we, when you wake up in the morning, there seems to be so much wrong, and stories are the things that we tell each other to let us know that that all these things that you feel about how fucked up everything is, like that's actually, that is how it is, so that it resonates, so that you go, like, because you providing language for the things that are bouncing around in your head, that's what art is. That's, if you look at a painting, you know, in the Louvre, and you start to burst into tears, it's because somebody, like, put something on a canvas that you thought could only ever exist in your brain, or a brain, and you suddenly, like, burst into tears because you've been connected with. And it's, but it, for me, story is the Remo Williams tapping on the wrist of, like, it's such a deep cut, of like I'm tapping in the rhythm of life and death with you, so that you understand that when you woke up this morning and you felt bipolar, you felt like, why am I in a good mood but I'm in a bad mood? Why, if I was in a good mood, why did I listen to a sad song? Why is my mom's death the thing that's fucking up my job right now? Why do I hate the people I love? Why do I love the people I hate? Why am I depressed? Why can't I get anything done? Why am I different? Why am I scared? Like everyone's walking around in their Pizza Hut uniforms, and they're up and down the sidewalk, and they all seem to have their shit together. And I turn on the TV, and everyone's having search encounters and trying on high-heeled shoes, and everyone seems to know what's going on. Ross and Rachel know what's going on, and all the traffic lights. And every once in a while, you drive by, and like a couple cars hit each other, and there's broken glass everywhere, but you're not supposed to look, and everyone that does look is a bad person, and you keep going. This conveyor belt, this concrete jungle, it puts a pressure on you, and you feel like, because you have this turmoil in your brain, you're like, I'm gonna snap. I'm the only one walking around with this secret that we're all fucked up, that everything is going to hell. And stories, like, you know, let you know. No, Ulysses had that happen to him. He felt that way. He went to this place, and like that there's it's a way of articulating that inarticulable fact that just when things feel their worst, that is actually the thing that is giving you the most strength and all that kind of crap. For me, like community stories are always about people versus the system, and it's always about reminding you that no matter how fucked up you feel, you're supposed to be the way you are. You're not supposed to actually grow and change. You're supposed to actually, before we ever get to that point, you're first and foremost, the most subversive, most heroic act you can do is just be proud of yourself, the way you got out of bed that morning. And people go around the circle of those stories, like experimenting with the idea that maybe they can improve themselves for the sake of improving their life or the system.
Yeah, and
or
they
something.
They get improved, like we said before, they get improved by the people around them that they look up to.
And they come back around to the conclusion that they should have just come clean and been honest about the fact that they felt like a piece of shit. That's what stories are. To answer your question, for God's sake, let's
play some D&D for pity's sake, shall we?
All right.
Last time, our heroes were fighting with Breffy, the mechanical monstrosity, who was new and improved with powerful enhancements. Breffy shot lasers and lightning and also tiny robo-spiders, but Quark quickly leapt into action, narwhaling the spider creature with a dagger strapped to his face. Sharpie used his father's cape to teleport onto the beast's back and blasted it with electricity. Breffy hit Christaberg with a chain which stuck in his stomach. Mulrain fired arrow after arrow at the spider monster with a decent success rate. Quark changed tactics and slashed at the beast with his mighty greatsword while Sharpie began looking through his backpack. He retrieved a rod of frost and sprayed ice at the lava below, forming a cool crust. Then the wizard turned his rod on the spider, blasting it in the face with razor-sharp ice fragments. That finished the job and sent Braffy crashing down onto the lava crust below. Quark, overtaken by victory lust, lowered himself down by rope onto Braffy, but slipped and fell. If not for Sharpie's quick thinking and the button staff, Quark wouldn't have lived to rape another day. Admiral Darkstar was sure to be close, but just how close? I don't know. I don't know.
Thank you, Spencer.
So you guys are up in this web of chains after just killing this guy. There's lava beneath you.
I say we climb up and see if there's a some sort of door where Breffy came through.
Yeah.
One thing to note is that there are four statues with eyes that recess when you press the button.
Yeah, those are consumed by lava at this point. It's been steadily rising this whole time. You guys are now just in the chains, and there's only lava below.
Yeah, Bill.
Oh.
All that shit you noticed?
Sorry.
That's in lava now. Get in the moment.
I climb up the chains and start looking for outlets above us.
On the ceiling, there's a sort of metal hatch door, but there doesn't seem to be any kind of handle or knob on it. It looks like it's made out of several triangular sections.
Krista Berg, you're a rogue. Get up there and check it out.
I'm checking it out.
Checking it out, you see what looks like a small hole on the left side of one of these door panels.
There's a hole.
I fuck it.
I knew he was going to do that.
No, don't do that. Did we find anything lately? Rods, staves, fingers,
icicles? We have a crafting kit that we could borrow from Mulrain.
Yeah, but don't you think this is one of those things where there's like a... I'm sorry, I'm immersed. I'm not metagaming.
We could jam an arrow.
You're
in
saying,
there.
Is there something that we have that would fit that certain size hole?
Yeah, I mean, we play this game once a week and we're always drunk. I'm just wondering if.
What's the size of. Like a... Describe the size of the hole by the door.
It's smaller than a human's littlest finger. I don't know how that compares to a halfling one.
I'm going to grab an arrow and jam it up in there.
All right. You jam it in there real hard, but the arrow is like harder, or I mean it's wider than the hole, so you stab it in there and it kind of breaks off the stone bits of the stone arrow. This is a stone arrow in this instance, in case anyone's wondering. It's not one of those iron-tipped arrows that wouldn't break off in this instance. Just some continuity, you know.
These triangular things, are they clean triangles, or are they like shard of power kind of shaped?
They're like clean triangles, like they're like tooth, like teeth of a not of a thing that's all of its teeth come together. Like, nothing exists like that in nature.
You haven't met my ex-wife.
Anyway. So, Christenberg is jamming this arrow in, and you jam it in, and you feel like a thing that it hits as you stick it in. It felt like it hit like a little metal something. Now what? It hit a metal something in the hole.
It hit a metal something in the hole.
Deep stuff.
And it broke off. So is it stuck in there? Can I
it's not
it out?
Like broken off. It's just that the side of the arrow is broken off. It's still attached.
All right, well, I'm going to...
Turn it.
Try to... All right, I'll turn it.
Turning it with all your strength. You muster up not very much of all your strength, I guess. And you try and turn it, and it just doesn't budge.
It's like a rotary phone.
Hey, what were you going to do?
You're the barbarian. You got the strength.
Yeah.
You try turning it.
I grab onto the arrow shaft, and I turn it for all I'm worth.
You turn it for all you're worth, and it snaps off, but not before activating some sort of mechanism that grinds deep within this assembly of triangles. They sort of grind and rumble as they open apart and create a hole in the ceiling.
Yay!
Yay?
As long as nothing's coming out of the hole.
Yeah.
Nothing's coming out of the hole.
Let's get through this hole, man.
Yeah, I clamber up through the hole.
You scramble up.
Clamber.
I'm using scramble.
Right.
Otherwise, I'd just be copying you. But
can I trundle?
You can trundle.
All right.
You could sashay.
I'll clamber. I don't care about copying anybody.
All right.
I'm mosey.
Is anyone else gonna move? In any
I caterwaul.
Okay, good. Yes.
But then I move actually through the thing.
You all move in various specific ways and find yourself in a new room. This room is strangely dark, as if light were magically dampened. However, the magically dampened light does not extend to dim crimson flames that seem to be held up in the midair like they're floating or some shit. It's crazy. It's not crazy, it's just magic.
The floor is littered with the mangled corpses of several black-robed humanoids and also black buckets for whatever reason. You can see entrails and blood smeared across the floor, and in the center of the carnage is a mound of ashes. Across the room you can see an archway, and in the archway is a stairwell.
How high in the air are these flames floating?
They're like about 7 feet tall. Like, you could probably grab one.
I use my goggles of minute seeing.
You use your goggles of minute seeing. What do you look at with them?
The room. Everything.
You look around at everything, and you look at these corpses. They look like they've been ripped apart somehow. Some of them have bite marks on them, but none of them look like sliced or like stabbed or anything. More torn. Not pleasant. Also, the buckets, they're full of blood. Seems a bit
much.
Yeah.
Do I detect any traps?
Searching around for traps, you see no traps.
Okay. Yeah, we should go look at that archway.
On the far side of the room where the stairwell I was mentioning earlier was, you hear footsteps, and then you see that gnoll guy, Yurch, that you've seen before in random circumstances in various places.
Yurch!
He walks into view and is like, what are you... What?
What? Yurch!
Weren't you guys ahead of me?
Well, we...
We got detained in a lava room with some chains.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was taking care of these guys, and then I was scouting up ahead.
Are you the reason they're all mangled?
I mean, yeah.
Jesus, Yurch.
I mean... What? You guys kill stuff, right?
Yeah, but we don't make a big show of it. Well, I do.
Why the buckets, man?
The buckets weren't mine. Those were there.
The buckets of blood were there?
Yeah.
Yurch, what are you hiding from us?
God, every time we run into him, he seems like
he's... Perception check.
Okay. What are you looking for with your goggles?
A sense motive on him.
A sense motive. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
It looks like he's hiding something from you guys.
Yurch, I take my sword out, my great sword, and I hold it at his neck, and I go, Yurch, tell us the truth, or I'll cut you deep.
I don't know what you guys are talking about,
man. I'll make you leak, Jack.
I told you I killed all these dudes.
I'll bleed you real slow.
You ain't Yurch, is you?
I is Yurch.
Prove it. Tell me something only Yurch and I would know.
I was tracking you guys ever since you were looking for your father back at the hills.
Every Harmontown fan knows that. Something Yurch would know.
Wait, what's Harmontown?
Huh?
What's Harmontown?
It's meta.
Avenger, is this Yurch?
Squaw!
We'll fix that in post.
My voice cracked. It gives you a look that says, I mean, yeah, looks like Yurch. He's like, what's going on? I thought you guys kill bad guys all the time.
We're in a goddamn carnival of broken souls. There's people running around everywhere that look like other people. We ran into a guy that didn't believe that we were good guys. And you know, he went mad. I'm just like, you seem like you're up to something.
Oh, no.
You seem like you're up to something.
I'm not.
We sensed motive on you. I don't want to get meta about it, but we sensed it.
What does that mean?
We sensed
you seem
you were
suspicious.
Up to something.
I mean, yeah.
What are you up to?
I killed all these guys. I was looking up there.
What are you going to do next, then?
Yeah, where are you going now?
What were you looking at?
I was just looking at the floor above. There's some scary shit up there. It's dark magic.
The floor above?
Yeah.
And that's why you seem like you're up to something?
That's where Darkstar is hiding. He's got all this dark magic. I don't know how to decipher it. You need some sort of crazy old books.
Crazy old books?
Yeah.
Where would we find these books?
Who knows, man?
I have books of divinity.
What?
Divine might. Books of divine might. I think that's what that says.
I don't know what that is.
That's not the right book.
There's lots of books. I mean, they can't all be the applicable one.
I look around for books in the room.
There's no books, just bloody torn corpses.
You know, if we could see up
there
better.
I cast detect thoughts on Yurch.
He's like, man, I need to get that book off that wizard guy.
The blood book.
Your book. Sharpie, look in your inventory for a book right now.
I have one. I've had it for a while.
He wants it.
While
you're looking for your book, I walk around in a kind of
Can I detect more thoughts than that?
Yeah, he's like, man, this guy just audibly cast detect thoughts on me, and now I feel like a real asshole.
I didn't audibly. I mean, are you saying that there's an audible component to
almost,
it?
Yeah, almost all spells, like, they have some sort of show.
So I was like, detectum thotamum.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's fucking Darkstar. Get him.
This is Darkstar?
Well, if it ain't Yurch.
I take out my flaming sword and I raise it above my head.
He's like, whoa, whoa, we don't gotta do that.
And I say, Sharpie, take out the book and show him it.
No, what book?
The Joy of Cooking. The Joy of Cooking.
What book?
Huh?
What book?
No book.
He has a cookbook.
What identity?
He makes buttermilk biscuits like you fuck. You haven't had buttermilk biscuits. And so you've had Sharpie's buttermilk biscuits.
I don't eat buttermilk biscuits.
Yeah, because you're fucking Admiral Darkstar, aren't you?
No.
I detect magic on Yurch.
He's full of dark magics.
I take my flaming sword and I strike it straight down into right.
It might be Yurch, but he's conjugated.
Conjugated. I'm a barbarian.
It could be our friend Yurch, but
look,
compromised.
Breffy turned into a spider. I had to fuck him and kill him twice.
Had to is a bit of a mischaracterization.
Spencer, the heart wants what it wants. Okay, I have the flaming sword poised above his head in a very threatening manner.
Okay.
God damn it.
Breffy.
I don't have anything.
Is there a way to release him from a spell? Is there a
Who's
way to...
Breffy?
I said Breffy. Is there a way to release Yurch from a spell?
I don't have anything.
Do you
have
dispel magic?
I don't. I fucking don't. I have deep slumber.
Hey, man, what's... Okay, let me be honest with you guys.
Oh, bury the lead.
I was telling you guys about the dark magic. This is blood magic stuff. It's crazy. I was trying to learn about it.
Yurch.
So you've immersed yourself in this blood and it's made you part of the dark magic?
No, what? No.
You were learning about the dark magic?
I mean, I know a bit about all sorts of stuff.
Is that why these buckets of blood are here? So you're covering yourself in this blood to learn?
Well, I mean, again, I didn't gather these buckets of blood. I mean, look at these things on the floor.
Nobody gathers buckets of blood, but at some point in your life, they get offered to you. And when they do, you need to come to your friends. You should have talked to us first. This is gateway magic.
I learned it watching Yurch.
I don't know how to respond to that.
That's because you're high on darkness.
That's not true, man.
What did you do with this blood magic, Yurch?
I'm not doing anything with nothing.
You're steeped in it, brother.
No, guys, that ain't me.
Guys, if we get this blood, if we get this blood on us, are we gonna turn into him?
No, I pick up a bucket of blood and I splash it on Yurch. I go, is this what you want?
No.
You want to be bloody?
What signals was I giving off that indicated that was what I wanted?
You're covered in darkness. You love blood magic. You want my book? You want blood magic? You want to be covered in blood? Blood is sticky. It's gross. It's crusty.
Sharpie, give him the book.
You used to be a regular gnoll. You used to be soaked in piss. You were a good guy.
And now you've soaked me in blood.
Yeah, so? Does it feel good?
No.
Sharp of it?
No.
Sharpie.
What? I slap him. Slap him across the face. Get this monkey off your back.
He's like, ah.
I have a question, Yurch. Yurch, what would you do with the book if you had it?
I'd learn about the thing and try and stop the evil plot.
Give him the book.
What? What are you?
I got the sword above his head.
Show him the book. See what happens.
No!
If he turns blacker, we'll kill him.
Wait.
That's oh, no, that sounded racist.
Well,
is that the title of the episode?
If it turns blacker, we'll kill him.
No, no. I'm not going to give him the blood magic book. He was dishonest about it in the first place. That means that he's, you know, come on. Yurch, we need to, what do you roll?
Whose nose, ma'am? I can't conceal my emotions. Yeah, nothing.
God damn it.
He rolled a perception thingy or whatever, like a will thing.
We have to secure Yurch.
Huh?
We have to secure Yurch.
I grab him from behind. I get him in a full Nelson.
All right. Well, as you're trying to do that, he finishes muttering under his breath, which you didn't hear because you were too busy talking and not perceiving things correctly.
Oh, man.
But, as you're grabbing him, he goes, hold it, tar! And then you grab him. And as you grab him, you feel the blood, the slick blood on his body turn hard. And it's all hard, like hard stuff. And you got a hold on him. Right. But it doesn't matter, because he's all bloody and shit.
He's turned hard, like an exoskeleton?
Yeah,
like
you're hugging a hard man.
Like an exoskeleton of some sort?
Like an exoskeleton, yes.
This is what happens when you hug people. The stink gets on them.
I release him and take out my great sword.
All right. He goes...
Aah! All right, you're...
And he bursts out of that, and he kind of like... His blood is all hard and... dripping over his face, and he's like, now you made me all fucked up, and I'm fucked up now.
Yurch is a complicated motherfucker.
You guys were all aggressive on me. I just wanted to learn about blood. Now you're going to learn about blood.
Yurch,
the hard way,
not,
though.
That's not what happened.
We're gonna
like the hard
we're,
blood.
Yeah, we're going to learn about your blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to write a thesis on it.
My blood magic.
Yurch,
hope this includes a blackboard.
It doesn't.
Yurch,
that'd be too easy.
Yurch, right now I'm looking at a gnoll who's about to get killed and fucked.
I'm looking at a halfling who's about to be full of blood missiles.
I'm a gnome,
blood
not
missiles?
A halfling.
That's a good point.
Yes.
All this blood's in my eyes.
Okay.
I'm invisible.
So he kind of flicks some of his bloody arm at you, and they kind of turn into these little blood darts, and they're shooting at your body.
Blood darts.
Yeah, but they all miss.
Flaming sword attack.
Do it. Oh, wait, that's me. We were just playing a game where you guys rolled your own attack rolls, so that's on me. You strike him directly in the stomach, dealing. What's your damage?
Sorry, it is...
Yeah, no, 11. Attack someone bonus. Else is
it's an 11 attack bonus.
No, your damage.
My damage is...
Yeah, sorry. It's like 1d something.
It's 1d10 plus 1d6 plus 4.
Sorry, everybody. Just some housekeeping. Dealing 11 damage.
Oh, poor Yurch.
Why? Wait.
No, I know. It's just such a shame. It's like Robert Downey Jr. in Less Than Zero.
But you see,
nothing we can do.
As the blood flows from his open wound, it kind of pulls back and hardens over the wound, closing it off immediately and scabbing it over. Oh, damn.
Poisonous sneak attack.
What's up?
Poisonous sneak attack.
I like the sound of that. Going around to his flank in a flanking maneuver, you try to attack him right in the flank with a sneak attack. But unfortunately, you miss.
I'm invisible and I miss?
When did you go invisible?
I said I'm invisible a second. He went all blood.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, I didn't hear that. Second of all, when Tyler was playing Christopher, he used your second invisible.
Okay, I wasn't invisible. I just thought I was invisible.
Fair play. Either way, miss. Sorry, man.
Can I ask you about
sure.
a spell
yeah.
of mine?
Yep.
It's called Mirror Image.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to... Is that... Do I just make another me?
You make, like, multiple copies of yourself that are, like, illusions. So
yeah.
He doesn't know who to hit.
I'm going
to
do that.
Nice.
I'm going to go, hey... Mr. Blood Missile.
Who will you hit with your blood missiles? Is it me?
Or me?
I put my arm around one of them and go, or this one.
And one of them has a mustache.
You summon six mirror images.
Oh, one of what them. A peculiar circumstance you find yourself in. I am Dieter.
Wow. Well, I don't think it's the one with the mustache. That's clearly fake.
Oh, it would be weird if I just put on a mustache and then cast a spell so that I was the one with the mustache.
And then I laugh, and each ha comes from a different guy. Ha, 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 ha.
So Yurch dives to the ground, and he grabs one of these buckets, and he does like a weird roll, and he throws a bucket on Quark's, and now Quark's covered in blood.
What?
Yeah. Oh.
That's not good, you guys.
I mean, maybe it is.
It is?
I don't know. I mean, I do.
Doesn't seem good.
You're covered in blood.
I start wiping it off me.
Okay, with what?
My cloak of resistance.
Okay, that, yeah. You start wiping blood off you. This takes a while.
Okay.
You get maybe a third of the way done. That's all.
Ribbon dagger.
Okay. You attack him with your ribbon dagger?
Yeah.
Just making sure. That's a critical hit.
Oh!
You strike him directly between the blood. Dealing 7 damage. That's, yeah, you know, ribbon dagger does x4 damage, but still just 7 damage in this case. 7 damage. He's like, my eye. It was between those bloods.
I'm still wiping blood off, right?
I'd hope so.
Yeah.
Putting it at a Sharpie's turn.
You appear to be surrounded by a forest of foes. Which one is reducing you? Who knows?
Reduce person. Tiny, tiny blood-soaked gnoll.
Okay, yeah. You cast Reduce Person on him, and he slowly dwindles down to the size of a gnome. He's like, no, that's fucked up.
It's not fucked up. We're a proud people.
You know, that's fine.
It's not the size of the barbarian. It's the motion of the sword.
He goes, I'm magicking right now. Blast. And then he casts his arms about, and all the blood on the ground starts to come up at like a snake serpent and starts to whip at you guys and try and drag you down like ropes or something. And you guys. Quark leaps out of the way, but the other two of you guys get entangled by these bloody ropes, and you're kind of bound and tied up.
Uncanny dodge doesn't help?
Uncanny dodge doesn't help.
Yeah. What about being like 8 people?
That doesn't, because it gets everything. So it actually grabs at all your illusions at the same time and dispels them.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll ribbon dagger again as I'm going down then.
What's up?
I'll ribbon dagger again as I'm going
I'm
down.
I'm putting it at Quark's turn right now.
I use my mighty sword, and I try to cleave off the tentacles that are holding these guys down.
Well, I like the sound of that. That happens. You cleave quickly through the tentacles. They're bloody ropes, whatever. Wrapping these two gentlemen, freeing them from their bonds.
It works?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Is all the blood off me yet?
No, you stopped wiping.
Okay, well, I go back to wiping.
Okay.
just
Christopher's turn.
And wiping.
There's going to be a gravestone that just says, he was meticulous. fastidious.
Am I able to backstab from where I'm at?
You can move to backstab, sure.
I'll do that.
Okay. You move to backstab. And you get another critical hit.
Jesus Christ.
Let's see how much damage you do.
Get some damage this time.
Yeah. That one's a lot more. Yeah, that's 20 damage that time.
Yeah!
Smiling faces.
Now
smiling
who's the lady faces. In red?
You stab him directly in his small back, and he takes that much damage that I mentioned.
Don't forget the back is small because I made it that way.
It's your turn again.
Me?
Yeah.
First,
can I get a spell called Cast Consistent Dialect on Sharpie?
First, I start off my turn by going, oh, but which of us? Oh, and then I remember that. Oh, sorry. It's back to just me again. I would like to ask you a quick question about the sun rod again. I can't remember what that did.
It's like a flashlight.
Oh, God damn it. I asked that last week.
Yeah.
And what does sack do? All right. We're going to use the old rod of frost.
All right. Do you want to shoot a cone of cold or like icy shards? There's different modes on this, baby.
Icy shards.
Oh, no.
All right.
Dan.
I saw that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Critical fail. What happened?
Pulling the trigger on your icy shards while you let off a witty pun, you realize you're holding it backwards.
I rolled a one.
And you blast off a volley of icy shards into your face, dealing 10 damage.
Ice to meet me. Ow, ow. Am I dead? Let me see.
How much damage?
You're keeping track of my hit points.
Yeah, so right now you've already taken 8 damage. So now you've taken 10 more. What's your health total?
35.
All right, you're fine.
You're making this up.
Yeah. I spent an hour today re-listening to Harmon Towns and doing the math.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So was I at full health?
Yeah, well, you know, the Dr. Pepper made you full health.
Oh, yeah.
And you only got hit for about 8 damage.
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
No, it was Yurch's turn. He's like, I'm all wounded and shit. I'm going to make a break for it. And he runs towards the hole in the floor.
At half speed.
Yeah, at injured speed.
And tiny speed.
Tiny person speed.
Injured, tiny, half-person, bloody speed.
Yeah.
Far sword power attack.
Unleashing a far sword attack from your blade. It critically hits. It slices him in half.
Yeah.
Oh! He's like, you sons of bitches. You don't know why it gets slow, like farther away. He just stays still. But then he dies.
We just shove him into the lava.
He dies.
Oh, Yurch.
Yeah, I walk up and I walk up over his body and I look down at him and I, with a heavy heart, I dry hump him a little bit.
I thought you were going to say, alas per Yurch.
Alas per Yurch.
I take some of Yurch's blood and I go like, Why? And then I rub it on my face and I go, oh, look, I'm on the guy. And I look at my friends and I go, I'm just kidding. I would never. Blood magic's the worst.
Just say no.
Yeah.
I search Yurch's body.
He has just a rusty dagger and a bunch of poop.
He was keeping it?
That's why he smelled so bad, I guess.
Yeah. I was about to give Yurch a rusty dagger. That's where I poop on my dick and then fuck him.
You didn't have to.
I don't want to play D&D anymore.
I take some more buckets of blood and I just pour it all over him.
Okay.
I kick his body into the lava.
You hear a screech coming from that doorway that he came through as you kick that into the lava. Just a screech.
I walk up to the... is it a stairway?
It's like an archway that leads to a staircase.
I walk up
to
and go, who are you?
You can see two pairs of glowing eyes in the darkness. They're like, you killed Yo!
Yurch, you will have our vengeance or something.
And then they disappear in a poof of smoke.
All right, let's all pool each syllable we heard. We'll piece it together. I heard you kill all the Jews.
You killed Yurch.
You will die in a pool of vengeance.
Definitely not the most eloquent of us.
I yell, come again?
But they've already vanished in that smoke I mentioned.
Oh. Admiral Darkstar, if that's you.
It wasn't.
Oh. Then never mind.
I yell at the ceiling nonetheless. More like Admiral Fartstar! Nothing? No.
I mean, sure.
Admiral Fartstar!
I thought that might get to him.
Let's chase him up to the archway. Let's go, guys.
Let's run. We run up the archway.
You run up the archway, and you burst through the door at the top of the... No, okay. So running through the archway, there's a spiral staircase. So I'm assuming you're also charging up that?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Charging up, you burst through the door at the top, and what you see inside is a pillar of black crystal on the top of which is Admiral Darkstar.
Oh! Cliffhanger!
Thank you for coming to a sleepy, introspective Harmontown featuring Johnny Jackhammer and Beefsteak Bill.
And thank you, Haley, for coming up, and everybody else. One more time for Spencer Crittenden, won't you please? I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller. Thank you for putting up with a very sleepy me. One more time for your sleepy but wonderful mayor, Dan Harmon.
Go home and go to sleep. We'll see you next week, wide and awake.